Welcome to Pemba On Demand. I'm Norm Chapin, your host. I am very excited to welcome you to our podcast. Pemba On Demand is produced for physicians interested in professional development. We will be discussing a wide range of topics on the podcast. I will be interviewing physician leaders from the U.S. and from other countries who have graduated from the Physician Executive MBA program at the University of Tennessee. These physicians will be sharing stories of professional and personal growth, overcoming challenges in their organizations, and discussing key leadership skills they have learned from the MBA program and ongoing professional development. Welcome back to Pemba On Demand. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Nancy Scott to the Pemba On Demand podcast. Nancy is the Leadership Development Programs Director for Graduate and Executive Education at the University of Tennessee Haslam College of Business. On this podcast, Nancy is going to be discussing a new program that's being offered at the University of Tennessee, the Chief Medical Officer Accelerator Program, or CMO Accelerator Program. I'm really super excited to have the opportunity to learn more about this program myself and to share it with all of you. Nancy, welcome to Pemba On Demand.
Hi, Norm. Thank you so much for having me tonight in the Pemba family audience. I'm so very happy to, well, be a part of the Pemba family myself, but to have the chance to talk about the CMO program tonight.
Well, that's great. I've been looking forward to this ever since we started planning this a couple of weeks ago. And so thank you for taking the time to be on the show.
Oh, you're welcome.
So maybe we could start a little bit tonight with you sharing with us a little bit about your background and how you ended up at the University of Tennessee.
Well, to me, the University of Tennessee is like Hotel California. I barely left.
Okay.
Early 2000s, I was a graduate student studying industrial and organizational psychology at the University of Tennessee. At the time, it was the only IO program in the country in a college of business, so it was the one for me. And I didn't want to leave when I graduated, but UT made me after begging to stay. They made me leave, and I spent a few years in Boston at a liberal arts school where we created a really awesome business major. And then I got a phone call one day that reminded me of the amazing leadership development program director role within graduate and executive ed. And so I've been in this role for about 8.5 years here in a couple of months. And so it's really been fantastic.
Great.
It's so much more than I even knew as a graduate student.
So industrial organization, it sounds like a fairly unusual major if it, at least at the time you went through your educational training and your undergraduate, you only found that particular focus at the University of Tennessee. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and how you got interested in pursuing that career?
Oh, yeah, Norm, absolutely. So I knew nothing about it. I was an athlete growing up, and I knew teams, I knew leadership, I knew competition. And I was in a car accident, and it's a reason I love healthcare. Thank you to all my physicians who helped put me back together. I was in a car accident, and I broke my back. I shattered my arm, my clavicle, and I didn't really know what I was going to do anymore. And I went back and I got my MBA, and I was lucky enough to get a mentor who, as he began to work with me, he recommended industrial organizational psychology. And that's how really my eyes got open to it. And the focus can be, you know, either, you know, on the industrial side or the organizational side, kind of testing, selection, or the organizational piece where you focus on leadership, motivation, how human dynamics impact organizational function. And so that's kind of the side I end up picking. And I did some research on humor, survived my dissertation, and along the way, I got the opportunity to actually work with Dr. Kate Atchley at the Tennessee Assessment Center and with Dr. Cheryl Barksdale, who was the Leadership Development Programs Director at the time. You know, I'm this lowly little peon role player. Norm, I know you're a Pemba alum.
Yeah.
Do you remember the simulations?
Oh, absolutely. I sure do, Nancy.
So I started as a Blair. I messed up, introduced myself as Nancy, and realized very quickly role playing was harder than I imagined. But I saw what the role playing experience did for the executive students. Right. In regards to how it challenged them, how it brought out the leadership skills that were going to be necessary for them to be effective in their workplace. And I got really, really excited. Mm-hmm. And I told Dr. Barksdale all those many years ago that she had my dream job and she thought I was crazy. And she asked me why. And I told her, well, you've got the opportunity to work with today's captains of industry and you can translate that into the undergraduate classroom to prepare leaders of the future. And that comment all those years later, 9 years later, it got remembered. And so it got me. Yeah, that enabled me to kind of circle back to UT to do what I do now, which is a lot more. Thankfully, all you Pimbas are very lucky. I don't role play anymore. but I train. I hopefully retain role players and the coaches as part of the LDP program.
Great. So it sounds like you're back where you love it. You're back at the University of Tennessee and things are going great. I'm interested to know, as you said, I'm a Pemba alum. I went to the MBA program back in 2008, but the CMO Accelerator course is something that is fairly new. I just started hearing about it. So tell me a little bit about that and how you got involved in that opportunity.
Yeah. So the CMO program is very new. We just finished our first run of it a couple of weeks ago. And our next run is kicking off here next month. And how I got involved, I guess, you know, Jim Rosenberg, he gave me a call and wanted to talk to me about the leadership component of it. You know, okay. And that's how I ended up getting roped in, because it was such a really, I think, an amazing opportunity for Pemba alum, frankly, and anyone else. You don't have to have a Pemba degree to be suitable for the program. It's definitely not geared just towards that. But I got really excited because of my work with Pemba. I heard a lot from the students that were interested in going the CMO route about how they wanted to learn more. And so when Jim reached out and asked me about this program, I was like, oh my gosh, light bulbs going off, really, really needed based on what I was hearing in the Pemba classroom.
So were you involved with Pemba education and teaching in the Pemba courses besides your now famous role-playing activity? Were you involved with Pemba when you came back to UT before this program started?
Oh, yes. So I'm a Pemba Corps faculty member. So I teach organizational change. I teach innovation or design thinking. I teach leadership style, power, influence. And you might also remember the old marketplace simulation.
I do.
Yes. Sir. And so about a year ago, my colleague, Dr. Strickland and I, we're trying to fill Bruce's shoes and help folks in that, the heat of the marketplace battle.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So this is a new adventure for you. When did it kick off? You said you've had one cohort just finishing up?
Yeah, one cohort. We kicked off early spring of 2024. Okay. Or actually, I'm wrong about that, Norm. We kicked off in the fall of 2023 was our start.
Okay. Yep. How
fall
long is the...
2023 to April. It's a six-month program.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So tell me a little bit about the design of the program. What does it involve?
So it's 6 months of synchronous meetings, like kind of lunch and learn style, you know, or working lunch, where every other week around lunchtime, we come together for 90 minutes. Okay. And depending on the cadence, so bi-weekly 90-minute synchronous virtual sessions, and we do something slightly different each session, though, right? We actually alternate between faculty delivering curriculum, one of the bi-weekly sessions, and then the next bi-weekly session is what I'm really excited about are the peer coaching sessions. And so we do that rotational cadence for the course of the 6 months, and it really helps the students both get exposed to, of course, concepts that are relevant to the CMO role. But the part that just I'm giddy about is that it gives them the opportunity to have a lot of one-on-one time with expert CMOs and each other. right? In those, what we're calling peer coaching sessions.
So how many faculty do you have from the University of Tennessee that are involved in this program?
We've got three faculty, Jim Rosenberg, myself, and Dr. Tim Munyon.
Okay. And then
Yeah,
where
so
do
we
the,
cover the material.
and what about the peer coaches?
The peer coaches, oh my goodness, I'm very, very excited. We've got over a handful of peer coaches who are some PIMBA alum, some not PIMBA alum, but we've got about seven CMOs who come from a variety of practice backgrounds and from different types of systems. But we've got seven, what we're calling expert CMOs, who devote their time with the students in those one-on-one coaching, or excuse me, that's not accurate. It's group coaching sessions. The CMOs are more than willing to spend their time talking one-on-one. But when we come together biweekly, it's a really small group. It might be two of our expert CMOs with four of our CMO students.
Now, are the CMOs Pemba alumni, or are they somehow other, have they been affiliated with UT in other ways, or how did you find them, I guess, is my question.
And so Jim Rosenberg, definitely tap the PIMBA network to find many of these CMOs, as well as just the general kind of, maybe not, they may not be PIMBA alumni, but they are definitely connected to the PIMBA network in the university. And so we've got seven, I'd call them rock star CMOs.
Great. So you're, what were the main what was the main audience for this program? Who did you reach out to, and who did you try to interest in it?
Oh, that's a great question. So we really got the buzz happened because of the PIMBAs, right? Many of the PIMBAs in the classroom were talking about how much they were wanted additional preparation to become CMOs. And so then Jim Rosenberg did a lot of boots to the ground research, talking with active CMOs to kind of understand the CMO role at a deeper level, figure out the leadership skills that are needed, and then of course kind of started at first, of course, marketing to, current PIMBAs and PIMBA alumni. So many of our students, now not all of them, all of our first cohort of CMO students all have a master's degree in addition to a medical degree. Many of the current cohorts, or just graduating cohort, have an MBA. Only two of them, though, interesting, are actual PIMBA alum.
Interesting.
And
So,
so this does expand beyond PIMBA alum, that's for sure.
yeah. Well, it sounds like people who are exploring this program who already have an MBA are finding that there's a value add. I guess when you and I spoke before, I guess my kind of assumption was that this program was positioning itself for physicians who hadn't decided that they needed an MBA yet, but they felt they needed additional leadership skills and training to help them with the CMO role. But it sounds like many of them have already gone on to advanced degrees and then come back to really focus on things they could do to be more effective in the CMO role.
That, Norm, you said it so well, I would make no corrections to that.
Interesting. Interesting. So right now, it sounds like you're ready to kick off cohort number two. When is that going to be starting?
So the next cohort begins the third Thursday of May 2024. We kick off round two, May 16th.
Okay. And if people are interested in applying for the CMO Accelerator, what should they, how should they reach out to, and who should they reach out to?
Oh, that's a great question. Tom Brown. I know our Pimba family, we don't survive without Tom, y'all. But please, if you're interested, reach out to Tom Brown. He can give you more information. He can get you the links that you need to apply for the program.
So I'll include the information of, I'll give you Tom's contact address for anybody listening who's interested. For those of you who didn't pick it up in Nancy's comments, Tom is like the stalwart administrative support for Pemba, and it sounds like CMO Accelerator too, although I didn't know that. I talk to Tom almost twice a week as we prepare for these live streams and Pemba On Demand podcast. So that's funny. He didn't mention that to me, that he was involved.
Oh, he's just the sweetest. He's just so humble. He's not going to take much credit,
Yeah, that's very true. So what is the maximum number of students that you can have in a CMO Accelerator cohort?
Norm, I love that question because I think a lot of universities would answer, bring it on, baby, as many as you can fit. But actually, that's not the approach we're taking. We want this to be a very intimate type of experience, right? Where you do get valuable time with a small cohort. And so that does mean we're limiting the class size to 15.
Okay. Okay. And that's for that 6-month program.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, 6 months. Yeah. And then when we would kick off cohort 3 late 2024, and then we would accept another 15 for that small cohort.
Okay. So what are your goals? And you mentioned that you have several faculty that are assisting you. I know you have Jim Rosenberg, who was kind of the mover and the shaker behind the program in the early phase. And then Tim Munyon, who's helping you. But what do you guys see as your big vision for the program, and how quickly would you like to achieve those goals?
Oh, Norm, that excites me so very much because we really do have a vision for the CMO program. I hope it's an achievable vision, but PIMBA has given us really big shoes, not to fill, but shoes to walk alongside. And so truly for us, we want the CMO program in 5 to 10 years to be as well known and as trusted as PIMBA. Mm-hmm. Because it really is such a good complement to that curriculum for any physician leader that goes through it that really wants to go into a CMO role, but it is a wonderful opportunity for any physician leader, even if you're not a part of the PIMBA family, to help them prepare for that role. And so we are really looking to build it through building relationships. You know, we're talking about things like our first round of graduates coming back to be mentors for the second cohort, to really build a network of graduates from the CMO Accelerator, but do that in a way that makes it as trusted and respected as the PIMBA degree is.
Great. Well, that is a lofty goal. You're right. The PIMBA program has been around for decades now. And to achieve the brand recognition, the name recognition for the CMO Accelerator program within that period of time, you certainly have your work cut out for you.
We do. But luckily, again, I mean, I cannot overestimate the value of having those expert CMOs in the classroom with us, you know, and I think the faculty are invested, the expert CMOs are invested, and the cohort one was invested. And so I am, it's lofty shoes to walk beside, but I'm very excited about the potential with that number of people that are invested and willing to give. Right. Mm-hmm. And willing to help each other grow. I'm very, very, very excited about the potential of us achieving that goal.
Would you say that there's any length of time that someone has been in a CMO role that would disqualify them for the CMO Accelerator course? Like, I've been a CMO for 15 years. Have I been in it so long that I know everything I need to know and I'm good at everything I need to be good at?
That is an awesome question. From observing the dynamics in the classroom, I am pretty confident that even our expert CMOs who've been in their roles for as long as you've been in yours are still learning something new every session. Mm-hmm. Right? And so while I think the program is ideal for folks looking to enter a CMO role or folks who are perhaps within the first 5 or 7 years of the role, I can truly say I've observed those very experienced CMOs really learn something and view something in a different way because of how they're either expert counterparts or the less experienced CMOs from their perspective. You know, another thing of value of the program, I mean, they are just also, they come from, you know, their backgrounds are all so, so very different. And so the diversity of experience, I just think creates a stellar opportunity, learning opportunity for everyone in that classroom.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by the Physician Executive MBA program at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville's Haslam College of Business. In less than one calendar year, this program will equip you with valuable business acumen and leadership development not found in traditional medical school curriculum. Are you ready to join the longest-running physician-only MBA program in the country and a network of nearly 1,000 PEMBA graduates? Visit tiny.utk.edu/podcast for information about this exciting opportunity. And now we'll return to the episode. One of the questions I had was, and I know we talked about this when we were preparing for the show, I was interested in, with University of Tennessee already having a nationally respected, nationally known physician executive MBA program, what was it that led to this interest in this niche of CMO accelerator specifically? Because I may not be completely accurate, but I don't think they've started up any other physician-specific educational tracks per se. So can you tell me a little bit about what Jim saw as the need and how he identified that?
Oh, absolutely. So it started again with kind of feedback from PIMBAs, but Jim went boots to the ground from there, and he started interviewing, I'd say, a dozen or so CMOs about the critical needs and challenges with their role. Mm-hmm. He used their insights and frankly, their feedback to begin to build the structure and content. And for that point, that's probably when he began to bring the faculty in and kind of get some of our opinion. And so, but it truly started with feedback from the market,
okay.
from feedback from folks in the role versus maybe us as faculty members thinking this is what is needed. This is okay. What the market told us is needed.
Great.
Yeah.
Now, I know with every type of program like this, and I know University of Tennessee prides itself on being a learning organization, I'm sure that you've try to get some feedback from the students, you know, that went through the program, but also from the faculty and from the CMOs, the mentors. What would you say a few of your biggest takeaways were from the first cohort that went through?
Oh, that's a great question. Let me tell you just a little about a little more detail about the content, so that way the feedback sure. makes a little more sense. And so we're covering, skills like leading change, coaching high performance, influencing people who don't have to follow you. For example, we are structuring the peer coaching in small groups. We've got a initial assessment, you know, leadership development. I gotta assess where you start. And so we're doing an assessment at the initial phase of the program. Folks are drafting a strategic intent for what they would like to achieve during that 6 months. And so some of the feedback that we're getting from the first cohort has been, you know, they want us to provide a little more exposure to their peers. So for cohort number two, we're thinking on rotating the peer coaching groups so that they can okay. they can go deep into their leadership challenges with more than just a small group of folks. We're getting some feedback on, fine tune some frankly words of assignments to make sure we provide just enough clarity, but just enough leeway that the assignments in any person's context will help them practice the skills that the prior faculty session introduced. And so to really get clarity around making sure all assignments reinforce the skill development of each session. And then frankly, we've gotten some feedback on, hey, you want to know what? We love, again, the hands-on nature. We love the opportunity to get that opportunity to network and build a relationship with an expert CMO. And we really are wondering, should we invest more time? Should the program be longer? But we also know that it probably shouldn't be longer. It's a great time investment already. And so we're getting some ideas around some of the comments that students have made. Should it be longer so it incorporates financial components? We've actually got, again, that feedback gets immediately, it gets heard. It does not fall on deaf ears. And so we're in the process of creating a financial kind of management certificate program versus incorporating that into this That would be an additional type of training any person who wanted to go deep in that area could sign up for and earn a certificate in.
Gotcha. How much in between the biweekly sessions, how many hours do the cohort participants need to spend on homework and preparation for those sessions?
You know, in the prospective students that I talk to, Norm, I believe 90 minutes is very reasonable. I think the program is a 90 minutes per week investment. Right.
Okay.
Knowing two of the weeks that is actually live and in the moment, either learning material or in the coaching session. And the other biweekly 90 minute investment would be on the homework and the reflection applied assignments.
Now, are the assignments something that are textbook assignments? Are they watching videos? Are they PDFs that you send to them?
Great question. No, no, and no.
Struck out.
Yeah. A softball player loves that joke, Norm. I like that. No, the assignments are really hands-on. You know, for example, they may learn principles of influencing folks that don't have to follow them. And the assignment that follows that session really is, you know, for that individual student to identify a scenario in their world, right, that they want to become more influential in, and determine a plan to use those concepts, go do the plan, reflect on the plan. So for another a quick example might be in the, you know, they learn coaching skills, and their homework assignment before the next session is to find time with a peer in the program to practice their coaching skills and help one another through a real-time leadership challenge. So the homework doesn't come from a textbook. It's completely customized to the material and to the student's world.
Okay. So are those assignments then sort of developed at the end of each of the biweekly live virtual sessions for each student that they're given particular assignments? How does that work?
Well, the assignment, there's a general structure for the hands-on nature of the assignment. Mm-hmm. But then once the student learns the principle, they are the one that ties the structured approach of the assignment to their individual context.
Okay. What you mentioned earlier that most of the current or the previous cohort students were already completed their MBA degree. Was that something that surprised you guys? It kind of surprised me when you said that, but
it really did surprise me. It really did. I thought maybe even a few more students might have gotten their MBA through PIMBA. So when it was, I don't want to say just two, like it's a disappointment, but when it was just kind of two students getting their MBA through PIMBA, that also surprised me a little bit.
What was the size of the cohort, the first cohort?
The first cohort was 9 students. Mm-hmm. 56, I'm proud of this. 56% of them women, 44% men. Mm-hmm. Again, all of them having a medical degree, all of them having a master's degree, either an MBA or an MPH.
Okay, great. And what is the cost of the program to a physician?
The cost is $4,900.
Okay. And is that, did many of the students receive support from their organizations with the tuition?
Norm, when I asked Jim to help me with that question, he told me that most of the students were self-pay. I believe actually all of them were self-pay.
Okay. Now, I know we're kind of close to when the next cohort is starting. Is there still time for people who are interested in joining this cohort to join, or do they have to wait until the next cohort starts?
Oh, no, there are still some seats open in this second cohort. And so we would love, again, if the time is right for folks in regards to them taking their next steps, there is still time to join this cohort.
Okay. And in order to do that, they just get in touch with Tom Brown and reach out to him and let them know that they're interested, and then he'll put them in touch with the right people or bring them through the right process.
He'll bring them through the right process or put them in touch with the right people. I know I can speak for Jim Rosenberg. I'll do it for Tim Munyon too. But I know the faculty will absolutely, we would be more than happy to talk to any prospective student with any questions. And so Tom can connect you to faculty if needed, connect you to process, connect you to signups.
And can you remind me when the next cohort is kicking off?
The next cohort is kicking off that third Thursday in May, which I believe is the May 16th.
Okay. All right. Great. Great. Well, I appreciate you giving us that information. Well, thank you very much, Nancy. This has been great information. I learned a lot, and I'm sure that the audience has learned a lot as well.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm really happy to share it. I just can't tell you enough, Norm. I can't reiterate enough how thankful I am for you giving me the opportunity to talk to the Pima family. And again, y'all, please reach out if you have any questions. If you're thinking about taking a step forward into the CMO role and your time is now or getting close to now, we would love to talk to you about the CMO Accelerator.
So that is our Pemba On Demand show for tonight. I was really grateful to have Nancy on the show and describe the CMO Accelerator. I really would recommend that any of you who are interested, who are just starting your CMO role or who've been in your CMO role for a few years, to really consider strongly getting more information about this course. I have benefited so much from my education at the University of Tennessee. Great faculty, great people, and I'm sure that you will benefit as much as I have. So I'm going to include some information in the show notes, some websites that you can link to, some information about the CMO Accelerator, and I will put in Tom Brown's contact information so that you can reach out to him. If you have any questions, he's a great resource, and I know that he'll be more than happy to point you in the right direction. So thank you again for joining. Don't forget to tune into our podcast 2 weeks from now. We're going to have some more exciting shows. And don't forget that the University of Tennessee is a great sponsor for this show. We really appreciate their support, especially Kate Atchley, Dr. Don Leiter, and Tom Brown for helping direct me to guests that I can bring on the show to be able to share some exciting information with you. So thanks for joining us tonight. Take good care of yourselves, and I'll look forward to seeing you at the next podcast.
That wraps up our show for today. Thank you very much for joining and listening to the podcast. If you have any comments or questions regarding this episode, please feel free to add them in the comment section on our website, tiny.utk.edu/POD podcast. We love hearing from you and are happy to answer any questions you may have. I will add a link to the website below. Please also don't forget to subscribe to the podcast by clicking the subscribe button. Add Pemba On Demand to your podcast library today. I would also appreciate it if you could leave a review of the podcast on your podcast player. Share the podcast with your friends and colleagues also. Please take good care of yourselves, and as always, good luck with your future.